We're just going to finish the first parak on Precious and sum up here, 76, if anybody wants to say. 76, and then the small version is Kuf Yud Gimel. Okay, we'll finish up this paragraph and then we'll sum up, in my estimation, what he says. Okay. Acha precious hara. There is negative precious, where a person should not be poorish from this world. Hu kederech ha-sacholim, asher lo dai she'enam lochim in ha'olam asher'en lohem echrich bo. People go overboard. And they don't only not take from the world what they don't need. They deny themselves what they really need. And they pain themselves and suffer with all different kinds of crazy sufferings. And that is not something that is Ratzon Hashem. The Rebbe Shem doesn't want people to suffer in this world that they cause it. He sometimes brings suffering on a person. That the person should bring suffering on themselves, that the Rebbe doesn't want. Ela adarava, chachomim amru, also lo adam sheyiskov atzma. It's also for a person to torture himself. Uvinyin hatzdaka amru, kol mi shetzorich litol ve'eno notel, hariz ha-shofet gamin. Even by tzdaka, somebody who needs to take tzdaka and doesn't take, and suffers, right? not only because he makes his family suffer, he doesn't have any family, just himself. And he's willing to starve. Rather than take tzedakah, right, he's chayef for a tzicha. He's killing himself. It's wrong. V'chein omru l'nefesh chaya, neshama shenasati ba hachi elsa. In a more positive way, the Ranshan, I gave you life, keep yourself alive. Live it up. That's what it says, hachi elsa. Live up your neshama. V'omru kol ayosha betainis nikrechote, a person who fasts. For no specific reason that's good, stop to fast. He thinks that he's doing something special by torturing himself, right, is a chote. It's talking of a person who really can't take the fast, but he's doing it to torture himself. Person who eats meat, what's it called, is gomel nafsho ish chesed. It's a boker or a boker? Boker? Boker. Okay. Person eats breakfast, not eats meat. Darn. Thought it was a meaty meat. What?
You can eat meat for breakfast.
Right. That a person should eat meals, and what's it called, because it's good for it. It's healthy. V'hil ha'ya omer, and also what's it called, okay, v'ha'ya rocheitz pan of the yod of the covered kano. He used to wash, bathe. L'kavod Hashem, because his body was something that deserved to be clean, like a statue that's in honor of the king. So the body also is in honor of the Rebbeinu Shlom. Kal v'chor medyuknos hamalachit. Harei l'cho haklal ha'miti, shekol ma she'enu muchrich lo'odem binyani olam hazeh, roi lo she'yifrosh mehem. Something that a person does not need in this world, and we'll qualify that in a second, that's where a person should have precious. Don't get involved in things that you don't need, and we'll see in a second why. And something a person needs, okay, for whatever reason, we'll see in a second. It doesn't mean you only need it because physically you need it. Could be because spiritually you need it. Or because of your position you need it, which we'll see in a second, he says, Befeirish. Since he has to have it, then not having it is a chet. Because having it is a necessity, and you should fulfill that necessity for whatever reason it is. He neze klal neman. That is the rule. Ach mishpat ha-protim al pi ha-klal hazeh einu moser ela al sheyikol hadas. Ashikol hadas. However, how to apply this lamaisa depends on a person's specific situation. You can't give general rules to it. it depends on a person's seichel, common sense, to know where this applies and where that applies. And according to each person, it's different. Well, if he's seichlo, yehulo lish, a person has to have a certain amount of seichel. Right? And with everything else that you have to have seichel too. So, ki yefshel kavitz kol ha-protim, it's impossible to delineate all of the details of these, of this thing. When yes, when not, what yes, what not. Ki rabim hein, ve'ein seichel odim yochel ha-hakif al-kulam el-dover dover be'ito. You can only do it piecemeal, each thing as it's necessary according to his specific situation, and it doesn't apply the same to everybody. What's necessary for one person, unnecessary for another person. The okay. Now let's see what the what you call what the protim are here. What he says. So when is there an inyan of precious, and when is, that's where he started the question. Excuse me. There are sources. We started this parak off that seem to laud precious and praise it, that a person should separate himself from this world. And there are sources that say that it's wrong to separate yourself from this world. So what is what? So he basically, the rule is the following. Three different things. First, let's start from the something a person needs, and he'd be torturing himself if he didn't have it, or he needs it because he can use it for Avodas Hashem, and that's his Avodas Hashem, right? That's how he has to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. For instance, Rebbe, that's the case, the example he gave in a little bit earlier. Rebbe and Antoninus, right? Rebbe had a table full of all the luxuries of this world. He needed that because he was a Nasi. And because a Nasi has to have the covet of the Nasius, he had to have those things. And it's not like Tosus says that he didn't eat them. He had to have them. Could be ate them also because he's a Nasi. But beyond what he needed out of the covet of the Nasius, he didn't have a Hanoah one finger from this world. Right, master from him, that it wasn't just that he had on the table. He had to have those things. He couldn't separate himself from them because that was part of his Avodas Hashem, as for who he was. Right? And therefore, what's it called? He had to have those things on his table, and he had to eat them too. Yet he was still able to lift his 10 fingers up and say, I wasn't a hender from Olam Hazeh in those things I didn't need. Anything beyond what I needed. I only exactly what I needed in this world. That's so anything that you need, either because physically you need it, and if you didn't have it, you'd be tortured. It's not a luxury, it's a necessity. Then you shouldn't separate from necessities. What's a necessity? Depends, like we've said in many times, in what your situation is. Okay, Rebbe's necessity was to have luxuries, because of his position. A person who was born in Biafra, his necessities are maybe to have a loincloth and what's it called, I don't know, some sticks to make fire with, or to have some grain to eat or whatever. Somebody who was brought up in the Five Towns, right, has different necessities that they, whether right or wrong, that's what they need, because that's what their upbringing is. Somebody born 200 years ago did not even need a cell phone, did not need a refrigerator, didn't need air conditioning, excuse me, or heating, or whatever, right? Today, right, it may be a necessity, right? I remember, what's it called, even here in a few years, when we first came here, for those who were here then, anybody? Yeah, Batches, yeah, you're here. Nobody here had air conditioning, kimat, right? It was a big deal. They started knocking holes in the wall to put in wall units or whatever. Nobody had air conditioning. Nobody had heat. We had those little radios that you turn them on, right? Those
radiators,
right?
Not radios.
No, they were radios. They were these little radios you put on the table, except instead of music coming out, hot air came out. But they looked like little radios. They weren't normal heaters. They didn't have those things. They had mamish little things that looked like radios, except they didn't have dials. If you turned it on, heat came out of it. The
Ralphins had the paraffin heaters.
Oh no, that was even before that, right? When we came here, that's what we bought, those what's it called, kerosene heaters.
Yeah, that's really good for your lungs.
Right. Nobody had.
And it, one air conditioner heater that we used on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, because those were the two hot days, and that we.
So I'm saying, but nobody had, you know, central air or whatever. It was like unheard of. But today, where I came from, Miami, that was a necessity. No, there was no store, no house without central air, because you couldn't exist there in the, what's it called, in the summer without air conditioning. Right? Not that the poor people there didn't exist without it, but normal people couldn't exist without it. You got used to it. Here, they, what's it called? In 30 years, there's nobody here, I don't think, who doesn't have central air and central heat. It's just a necessity. It became in 30 years a necessity for most people, and most people wouldn't be able to understand how they could live without it, or without an air conditioner, at least in the summer, or heat in the winter if you don't have central, whatever. Right? But things change, and what becomes what in one place is a necessity is another place a luxury, and what one person is a necessity, another person is a luxury. So it's impossible to give rules about it. The rule is, in general, necessity. What's a necessity, luxury? Impossible to tell a person what he needs and what he doesn't need. Right? And people can fool themselves too. Right? But if you don't want to fool yourself, right, then you want to be objective, then there are definitely different needs that people have. The halachas and tzedakas like that. That if a person's used to a certain lifestyle, then not having that lifestyle for him makes him poor. And he's allowed to take money. Right, if a guy is used to driving a Cadillac, right, and he loses his ability to buy a Cadillac, he can only buy a Toyota or whatever. So you have to give him money for tzedakah to buy his Cadillac. That's a necessity for him. Whether he should have gotten used to that or not is a different story. But that's the metzias. So that's the first rule. If it's a necessity, the Rabban Shalom does not want you to torture yourself in this world. And that's the word that I heard from my Rashiv Reb Chaim Stein, by a Nazir. Why a Nazir is called a Chote. He said, I should see a Ratzmu in Ayai. If the Nazir would have outgrown wine, he doesn't need it for his Avodas Hashem. He doesn't need it for his well-being, right? He doesn't need wine, right? He can get very well in this world without wine, believe me, right? I don't understand people in certain countries, right? Wine is like the drink of, you know, of the, that you drink with your meal. But for some people, it's bechalal nothing. They don't drink wine come out ever unless they have to, right? They force themselves to do it. So you can live without wine. So, but a person who needs the wine, for him, that's a staple of his existence, and he enjoys that beverage, right? And he'd be torturing himself not to have wine, so that's wrong. And therefore, a nazir, who's only a nazir for 30 days, but goes back to drinking wine, he's a chote. Because you needed the wine. All right, you're going back to drink it. So then why'd you separate yourself from it? If you don't need it, so then don't drink it ever. If you're going back to drinking it, the Nazir only brings a chatos when he goes back to being a regular person. So that's what he said. I should see your atzmu min ayai. You didn't just separate from the wine. You tortured yourself to a certain degree by not drinking wine. That's wrong. So that is one rule. Okay? You have to know what you need, what you don't need. And need can be physical, can be emotional. It can be, a person needs to have an ice cream cone, you know, once a week, because it makes him feel good, and it makes him, puts him in a good mood, and this way he's better, nicer to his wife, or he's nicer, she's nicer to her husband, or he doesn't, you know, beat his kids up because he feels good. So, that person, the ice cream cone is a necessity, an emotional necessity, whatever. It's a crutch. Whether that's right thing, good thing, not thing, no, but separating for yourself is not a good thing until you can outgrow it. And then there's spiritual needs. Person needs things because that's his avodas Hashem, and if he has those things, he can. Person's a mashulach, right? Not the mashulach around here. I'm talking about, you know, a choshev, a guy who represents a choshev institution. He has to drive a nice car. Guy asked me a shaila recently in Los Angeles. Right? He wasn't a mashulach. He was in some business or whatever. He said around here, if you look like a schlepper, they treat you like a schlepper. If you look like you're successful, then they treat you as if you're successful. He is a person who people invest. He gets people to invest in things or whatever, and he splits the profits with them, or sometimes takes all the profits. That's an investment kind of, that's the kind of people. That's what people do like that. So he said, if I give the impression that I'm successful, people will invest with me. If I give the impression I'm a schlepper, I could be the most successful person in the world, but the image that I give is no good. So he wanted to know, he had a dent in his car, okay? And he could get along without fixing it, right? And he could use that money, because he wasn't really that successful in the thing, and really his family needed food to eat. But on the other hand, if he fixed it, right, it would cost like $500 to fix. That $500 he could use for his expenses, but if he didn't use them for his expenses, so he'd be suffering a little bit. But on the other hand, it would be the image of having the car that didn't look like a junker, right, would maybe make his business more successful. So you wanted to know, but you see that could be a person needs a nice car to drive if that's what his image has to be. It could be for ruchnistic reasons too. It could be he represents an institution or whatever. He has to have a good image. So, and it depends where you are. Avadi, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, the dent in the car is not going to make any difference, even if you're a mashulach or whatever. We're in the Los Angeles, it may make a big difference, right? So, that's the necessities. Second thing. Appreciation on things that a person doesn't necessarily need, but aren't going to lead him to bad things. They're parav. They're nice enhancements of life, right? If you don't become dependent on them and don't let them get out of hand, you can live a nice life without separating yourself from them. No negative is going to come from it. And there's nothing necessarily 100% positive about it. For a regular person, that's also okay. That's a person who should not do things that are aser, should do things that are mutter, should not be over with isuri d'rabbanan even, right? But making extra siyogim for himself because maybe it'll lead to something bad, that he's not mechuyev to do, as long as it's not going to lead him to something bad. So a regular person can live a nice, enhanced life and not be over anything, but he's a tzaddik, he's not a chassid. He's not on a higher level. A person on a higher level, even things that won't necessarily lead him to anything bad, but are not necessary. So there's an inyan of precious to separate from them for fear to separate yourself extra special, that you should never come to be dependent on them or that it leads you to bad. Even though under normal circumstances it's not going to lead you to anything bad and you're not going to become dependent on it, so there's no reason compelling you to separate from them, right? But you don't need it anyway. So then there's an inyan precious for chassidim, not for tzaddikim, but for chassidim. That is the Mesillas Yesharim. And then there's the other way, where a person, something's not necessary for him, and it could lead him to something bad, right? And he knows that if he gets involved in these things, it's a matter of time until it's going to lead him to something bad. Then, even for a regular person, there's an inyan bedafka to be porish from things that you know that even though the rabbanan didn't make an iser, because for most people it's not going to lead them to something bad, or it's not something that most people could put up with, but in your specific situation, you know it's going to lead you to bad, right? Then, even a regular person is mechuyev to separate himself from those things, or it's a very positive thing to separate yourself from those things. I think those are the three rules, three areas. Okay? Those are also, everybody has to know where he fits. Right? If he fits into the things that he is enjoying in this world, right? Do they fit into the first category, second category, third category? And do you want to be a chassid? Or are you satisfied to be only a tzaddik? And you don't want to go that extra lifni mishura sadin. You just want to do what the din is, right? Not everybody can do lifni mishura sadin, right? And for everybody, not everybody is lifni mishura sadin good. And that's why, what's it called? It applies also not only to precious, but precious also has to do with chumras too. chumras, right, or kulas. The problem with the world today is that very few people know halacha, right? So they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. They just think whatever they do is the halacha. That's what they heard, and that's what it is. Sometimes what they're doing is not the halacha. What they're doing is a leniency that people in that place or rely on. But the halacha really is something else. But the ma'isa, because of the generation, because of that, the makeup of the people that they're dealing with, they're not ready to keep the halacha the way it's supposed to be. They're allowed to be makeup. Okay, that's a kula. The opposite is also true. Sometimes the halacha is X, but people want to be machmer. Right, so they want to do the halacha a better way to satisfy all the different opinions, even though the halachic opinion is one way. There are more strict opinions. I want to be able to say even those stricter opinions. So I machmer. In some places, since they can do that, right, it's a shibur of bnei Torah, of talmidei chachamim, they want to, what's it called, do things extra. So they, what's it called, they do the chumra. Okay. So if everybody would know what the halacha is, and they would know if they're being machmer or they're being neko, then everything would be shalom al Yisrael. But what happens is, people don't know what halacha is, and they think that their chumras are halacha. So anybody who's not machmer is a sheyitz. He's not doing what's right. But what you're doing is not what's right, it's what's extra. Or the opposite. There are people who are neko, and normal people are doing the halacha, they consider them fanatics. Because I think the halacha is the kula. But if you know it wasn't the halacha, it's a leniency that you're able to rely on because of your situation. The people who are doing the halacha are not fanatics. They're doing what's normal. So that's why all this in the world today is there's the people who look at people who are keeping halacha as fanatics, and people look at people who are keeping halacha as shkotzim, and it leads to a lot of not good things. So the same thing. Sometimes it's good to be machmer, and that's a getter of precious. Chumra usually is I'm separating myself from something that I could do, but I'm not going to do it for some positive reason. Sometimes it's not good to be machmer because you're not on the level to do that. You're torturing yourself by doing this chumra, and it's going to lead you to be mekel. It's going to lead you to worse things. Right, in many areas, without going in for tznius reasons to say where they really apply, right, in many areas it's not good for people to be machmer because they're not holding by that madrega, and the chumra is going to lead them to worse kind of things. Right, better to do what you're supposed to do. Right, the example I always like to give, which is a part of the example, first wants to be a big machmer and not even drink water outside the sukkah. So if you have a sukkah right next to your house and you can spend all your time in the sukkah and you don't go around, what's it called, during sukkahs, so it's fine. You can be machmer like that. You sleep in the sukkah. What's the big deal? It's a chumra. I don't drink water outside. But if you don't have a sukkah so available and you travel a lot, so what are you going to end up doing? You're not going to have a sukkah around. You're not going to be drinking. So you're going to be over on Simchas Yontif. So basically you're going to come to negative things because of your chumra of not drinking water out of the sukkah. You want to do something extra, and because of that you're going to end up not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Or you're going to end up, because you're so famished or whatever, because you don't even drink water, to start eating things outside the sukkah that you're not allowed to eat. Which, if you would have been makel to, not makel, you would have done the halacha and eat what you can or allow to eat out of the sukkah, you wouldn't come to eat a meal outside the sukkah. So a person has to know where to be machmer, where to be nekel, where to keep the halacha, and it's not easy. But nothing in this world is easy. It's not supposed to be easy. Right? That's what a person is supposed to put in. And if you don't know yourself, you're supposed to have somebody to guide you and to ask shailas. What's okay, what's not okay, whatever. What for me is okay and what for me is not okay. Somebody who knows you, who can tell you what, you know. Some people do the craziest things, either chumras or kulas, and it destroys their Yiddishkeit. And they think that they're, you know, they're enhancing it. They're not enhancing it at all, they're destroying it. So it's the same idea. But I think, though, based on my understanding of Mesillas Yesharim, and we've had enough arguments over here whether that is the, right, that's the rules, according to him at least. Yeah.
First time it says the rules, I mean, it's this parak is beer midas gracious. Explain what it is. I mean, the rules of what's called good and what's not. Not what you should do. That's the next parak.
Yeah, no, no. Right. The details, first of all, the details, you're just going to go to the details a little bit, right? Because you can't go to the details because they apply individually, personally, right, to every person, right? But yeah, but the rules meaning these are the three or four areas, because one has two areas to it, to a tzaddik or a chassid. These are the areas to deal with precious.
Like the parameters of precious.
Right. These are the guidelines. That's the thing, guidelines. How do you apply those guidelines? What are the details? First of all, so you got to other prakim, the details. But the real details are dependent, like he says, on your seichel. How to apply these guidelines. But these are the guidelines. If you want to know what is positive precious, what's negative precious, what is voluntary precious, these are the guidelines, I think.